Hello and welcome to episode Drew Brees of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined alongside Sim Longa. And Sim, last time we talked, it was a big weekend for the Purdue athletic department. And we'll jump right into the Purdue basketball team. They took care of business, for lack of a better term. They went 2-0 with it. Victories over Northern Kentucky on Friday with a 72-50 win, and then just recently finished a game here this evening on the 11th, Monday evening, a 92-84 victory over Yale. And Sim, I'm gonna talk mostly about the Yale game specifically because that's the game that I was able to watch because Big Ten Plus is not for me. But in general, I think one of the biggest takeaways, specifically with this Yale game, I want to jump right into it. And I want to talk about the play of the best player on your team, and that's Braden Smith. I feel like Braden played a game that we've really been asking him to play for. Like, his stat line is not going to jump out at you like crazy insane, but 22 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. But to me, he took 16 shots, and I can't really, I'm trying to think back, I can't really think of a shot where I was like, ah, you probably shouldn't have done that one. There was maybe one fadeaway mid-range in the second half on the left-hand side, but outside of that, like, Braden played really, really well tonight.
Yeah, he did. He did. He really did. He also, I mean, he also had 5 steals, and as a team, we had 7. He had 5 of them. So yeah, I mean, you got Braden's stat line, as you mentioned. It's what we've been looking for. What we talked about, and prior, like on our previews, and then even what we've talked about, even in like the first after the first couple games of this season. And you mentioned too the fact that he had 16 shot attempts. That was 8 more than anybody else on the team. And I know that was something that we've talked about in terms of like, look, there's more shots now because Edie's not around, and he was probably the guy you were looking to in terms of, hey, you're good because he has the ball in his hands. He has the ball in his hands so much. He was going to be a guy who, yeah, like there were going to be more shots for him. We wanted him to be looking for a shot more and being willing to take more shots. And just like you said, I can't recall a possession where I watched him take a shot and I was like, I don't take that shot. I think, and I look at that, it was only 7 of 16, but I think that, taking 16 shots could very well be a game where, he's 11 of 16, 12 of 16, 13 of 16. And then all of a sudden you're talking about, upwards of 30 points. Obviously you see with the 9 rebounds and then the 6 assists, then you're really in some type of 30 point triple double range. And that would be, and for a guy who was, who is preseason national, excuse me, preseason player of the year. Those are the type of performances that we're gonna need from him, stuff that you saw tonight. So it was really good to see him come out and just really be aggressive, looking for a shot, but also obviously trying to set guys up, trying to get him involved. So yeah, just a good an all around good game from Braden. I also thought that that Fletch had a good game. It was quiet, but like he's gotten the like he got the foul trouble early. But I mean, he had 14 points, only on 7 shots. Hit both of the threes he took, hit both of his free throws, and I just. Again, I feel like he just continues to play with a very, like, very calm and very just like at his own pace, knowing where to get to his spots. Like, I mean, it just felt like most of like every shot he took was under control, and he was like, it was a shot he wanted to take, not the shot the defense made him take. It was just like, all right, this is where I'm getting to. I'm getting this shot off. So, kudos to Braden, and yeah, I just wanted to make sure I gave a shout out to Fletch as well.
Yeah, and Fletch played, and I mean this with the utmost like compliment. It was a very Etuan type game. Like Etuan, I feel like was a dude who played with a bunch of guys and would get you a quiet 15 points and had that mid range. He was deadly from three if you went underneath the pick and roll, which for some reason Yale continued to do. And also would kind of drive to the basket. And I feel like Fletch is quietly becoming a kind of Etuan type player. Did just want to put a bow on the whole Braden conversation. Like, For me, Brayden played an all-around great game, but you gotta eliminate the turnovers that he had in the second half. He was credited with three turnovers. I'm assuming they gave the one where he threw it to Berg and Berg couldn't handle the pass. They gave Berg that turnover, but he had a couple turnovers really where, like, the over and back one with Trey, like you just can't do that. He had
I'm
one
a
where
freshman.
he drove baseline and then got caught midair and turned it over. Like, those are the ones against Alabama, against Marquette, against Auburn. You can't have those turnovers. So I think Brayden played really, really well. But if I'm nitpicking him and I'm holding him to the standard of national or of Big Ten player of the year, he's got to cut those out.
Yeah.
But to
It looked
your
like
point, with
freshman
let
mistakes too.
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what he did. He would do that freshman year where he would drive and leave his feet and not really know where he was going. And it worked early in the season, but I remember at towards the end of that season, team started understanding like, okay, he's going to drive baseline, and so they started crashing the passing lane. So yeah, that.
And man, that over and back one, like, there was no reason for it. Like, it's those ones that are just driving, like, that'll make you crazy. And the turnover he had with Fletch, they got the rebound. Brayden was looking to push and passed it to Fletch. Fletch never saw the ball. It ended up being a turnover. Fletch was on the right side, and I'm pretty sure it was Miles on the left side if he wanted to run the fast break. But again, he could have taken at least one, maybe two, three more dribbles to really set that fast break up, and it would have led to points, I'm pretty confident. But I mean, again, that's just nitpicking a really good player, and you want to see him be better in certain areas. But I'm never going to argue with a stat line of Brayden with 22 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and five steals. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
that's just a guy doing what he needs to do. And I felt like there was a couple of times he really showed some leadership as far as timeouts, dead balls. I feel like he kind of got into some dudes about there was one specifically in the first half. I know he wanted, and I think Robbie called it out on the broadcast. He wanted
CJ,
CJ
yeah.
Cox to come early on a screen, or at least kind of help let the play develop. And CJ was late on it, and Brayden let him know about it. But that's what you need from Brayden, especially early on. Like, these are kind of why you play these games, is to kind of let those things happen and learn and be better as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that's the leadership you need from your point guard in general, but especially a point guard in Braden's situation in terms of where he is going to be kind of the straw that stirs the drink. Again, we're kind of going to move as he moves. Yeah, like I remember that the possession you're talking about where yeah he because yeah Rob did he did call it out specifically, and you need him to get in guys' face like that because these are the times now where. I guess the mistakes are probably more, they're more acceptable because like it's still early in the season. And it's like if you don't say anything now, you could still run into that issue later in the year. And so by saying it now and kind of getting in guys' faces and kind of and starting to demand that perfection and just attention to detail now, hopefully that bodes well for you as you get further and further along into the season where guys now are starting to understand and they're starting to think and process faster to where everyone's on the same page because that's when, especially offensively, that's when things can start to flow a bit more harmoniously. I think we saw tonight various times where things just kind of they didn't look like they flowed smoothly. And I think that's just an overall thing because of we're playing a different type of basketball now. We're not necessarily going inside out, working into the post and then kind of everything orbiting from there, everything going from there. So the fact that the style of play is a bit different than what it is, I think it requires a guy like Braden to be vocal, to be in guys' faces when they're not doing stuff right, to be that extension of a coach on the floor. That's what you want. Really good point guards, they end up being an extension of the coach on the floor. So yeah, that was definitely some of the intangible stuff that I saw from Braden tonight that I definitely liked.
And just speaking on things going smoothly from the Yale game compared to the game on Friday night, I just want to give a shout out to Kevin Kugler and Robbie Hummel on the broadcast. Those two guys, man, they are really fun to listen to call a game. So just want to make sure we shout those guys out, because it was just a really good broadcast overall. But just to put kind of like a bow on Fletch, like he finished, to your point, 25 minutes, was limited in the first half with the two fouls. 14 points, 5 of 7 shooting, 2 of 2 from three. While we're talking about that, let's give a quick shout out to Paint. And I'm pretty sure PJ called that play out of the timeout right before halftime. That
That was
was
beautiful.
pitch perfect.
That was
Like
beautiful,
that
man.
play right before
That was
half
beautiful.
was beautiful. And again, I don't know who called that play. I'm gonna give PJ the credit just because that's my boy. But I was almost upset because I thought Paint should have called timeout on the possession prior, and it led to a turnover, which led to a fast break basket for Yale, so Purdue could call the timeout with like 7 seconds left, I think. But that play right before half was just, I mean, chef's kiss, just the absolute perfect play call. But Fletch in general, to me, like in the first half, like he was hitting shots on the run, he was diving to the basket. I think this is the Fletch that you want to see throughout the years. Like, not only can he knock down shots from three, but he can also drive to the basket, so you can't run out on him. I think it was a really good game. My only thing for him is I want to see him continue that for a full game. I feel like he kind of disappeared in this second half a little bit. But again, for Fletch, like, man, he was just money. Every time you needed a shot, Fletch buried it, especially in that first half.
Yeah, I actually think he probably would have had a bigger game if he didn't pick up those two fouls in the first half, because he was starting to get things going. I think they said at half that Braden and Fletch were responsible for 27 points, so that'd have been 27 of our 45. So I think, yeah, if he doesn't pick up those two fouls and the second foul, I mean, okay, we can have a conversation about that. But if he doesn't pick up those two fouls, I imagine it probably would have been more. And I think too, when you get in foul trouble, you always start the second half, I think, a little bit more cautiously, because you don't want to pick up a quick third, because then obviously that sets the tone for even the rest of the game at that point. So if you can avoid foul trouble, which is the same thing I would say about Braden, the same thing I would say, heck, even about TKR, those are guys who we can't really afford to have them in foul trouble. So yeah, that's just kind of being nitpicky. But like you said, 14 points in 25 minutes on 7 shots, just a quiet, I feel like a quietly effective game where he hit some big shots, hit some timely shots. And yeah, you just hope you see that as we continue to progress into the season, especially if he's going up against probably equal size, I mean equal like when he's going up against more aggressive guards, especially defensively. You definitely want to see that. And I'll say this, I don't know if I've said it before, but he genuinely does actually look like he has put on weight this year, like in this past offseason. Just kind of seems that way in terms of the way that he just
100%.
like, he looks. And then I think it's reflecting too in the way that he's able to drive on the basket. Again, we'll kind of get a better idea of it really starting Friday, as the competition ramps up. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Fletch, man. Been finally ordering large fries instead of mediums with those value meals. So shout out to him.
Yeah, and this is gonna kind of sound like duh, but he plays like a junior out there. Like he plays like a guy that has played, that has started 2 years. He just has that quiet confidence about him. And he just plays with a really, again, I'm gonna keep calling it out throughout the year, but he has that Etuan Moore type confidence, where that quiet confidence, he is super efficient. Mid-range driving to the basket three, like the dude is just a baller, man. And I was I was on him prior to the year. I felt like he didn't give enough credit. Like, shoot, I think we talked about it. He was left out of the top 25 three-point shooters in the country, which is just asinine to me because he led the Big Ten. But like, Fletcher's just one of those guys that like give me on my team, and we're gonna win more games than we're gonna lose. But switching gears, I did want to talk about Miles too, because we talked about this off air, but I don't think this is like crazy talk, but I think Miles had his best game as a Purdue Boilermaker. Like, Miles played the fourth most minutes on the team. He played 24 minutes, 3 of 5 shooting, 2 of 4 from three, 9 points, 5 rebounds. And don't get me wrong, the 5 rebounds were huge, but I would argue his defense at the end, like in the second half, dude, he shut down the Yale shooter, and I can't think of his name right now. He was a lefty.
Pulakitis.
But
Yeah, John Pulakitis. Yeah. He
yeah,
just
and
he made it work, which was to me, that was because eventually, like, I mean, if you watch the game, you saw Pulakitis was out here. He was, he started splashing towards the end. And a guy of his caliber, of course he's gonna get his, but he had 23 points on 19 shots. And he's 5 of 12 from three. That type of inefficiency, I mean, that's not necessarily the most efficient game for him. I imagine he probably could acknowledge that. And a good deal of that is response is is due to the defense that Miles played on him. And I just can't believe, I mean, in a positive way, I just can't believe the performance we saw from Miles tonight. Like you said, just in terms of the way that he filled the stat sheet out, 9 points, 5 rebounds. He hit a couple threes. He had a big dunk, but defensively, his effort and his work. I mean, he was stuck to Pulakitis, man. He was right on him. Wasn't giving him space. And then, yeah, just like I said, like I mean, it just if someone had told me a year ago that Payne would be playing Miles late because of his defense, I would have
that's the
assumed like, all
thing.
right, well, he must have had like 25 or 30 to where like Payne's like, yeah, I need you in there for these buckets as well, but also like I'm gonna have to ask you for some defense.
That's the thing. Like, Payne was legit putting Miles in for defense only and bringing Fletch in for offense. Like, that's how far Miles has come. And I don't want to discredit either. Like, there was a play in the first half when Miles got a steal. It was specifically a play, and Yale was trying to throw like a cross-court pass, and Miles
Yeah, he
stepped
picked
in
that
and
off.
intercepted
Yeah.
it. And I just think that kind of highlights to his defense awareness, and just kind of how he's come. And like, you don't need Miles Colvin to be like a Chris Kramer or like a Rafael Davis, like defensive player of the year. But if you can get Miles to play legitimate defense with his offense, we're talking about a legitimate pro. And we talked about this, like the way that Miles has developed from his offensive game. And one thing that was really cool I thought about in the first half, Miles missed a three. I think it was TKR got the rebound and kicked it right back out to Miles for another
Yeah,
three,
he
and
splashed.
Miles got it. And man, like, I don't know about you, Sim, and I know it's been talked about kind of. I like Miles is playing his way into the starting lineup, but to me personally, and this is like I love Miles. I think he is one of the best players on the team. I like him coming off the bench as like that sixth man. And curious your thoughts kind of on like him starting versus him coming off the bench, because I feel like he can give you that punch, like, after that tip off, like a few minutes into the game. I feel like, just me speaking, I like him utilized as a guy off the bench, and that's no knock on Miles. I feel like he is one of the best players on the team, but I like the what he brings to you off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, you think about like the offense that you get from just your starters, and you talk about the big three in terms of with Braden, TKR, and Fletch. You're gonna get some pretty good offense out of those three. And so to be able to bring a guy like Miles in off the bench along with Cam, who also he Cam got it going tonight too. He was able to knock down a couple threes, which was good, you know, for him to see the see some shots fall down. But I agree with you. I like having Miles come off the bench, just because when was the last time you saw someone come off the bench on a Purdue team who's kind of had the explosiveness, the ability that
It
Miles
gives me
has at any.
almost like John Hart vibes. Like, I feel like we haven't had a player like that since John Hart. And I feel like this is no knock on John, but I feel like Miles is a better player than Hart. But like, that's kind of where I'm at with him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Miles probably has athleticism that probably more mirrors like Aaron Wheeler. And then, yeah, I mean, from in terms of offense, in terms of the way he could get hot, yeah, I can see the John Hart comparison. But yeah, I just like having some offensive kick off the bench. I think that's important. And you know, if for whatever reason then he does find himself into the starting lineup, okay, like that's not going to be the worst thing either. They're young; they can play upwards of 40 minutes. They'll be okay.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And one guy I did want to highlight too was CJ Cox. He only ended up playing 16 minutes, but he finished with 12 points and to me, 6 of 7 from the line. And I feel like he was a guy that kind of grew up at the end of the game. The fact that paint put him in there at the end. He knocked down those free throws at the end. I feel like he was really a difference maker for the Boilermakers. He has some things to work on. Don't get me wrong. He got beat a couple of times off the dribble, but
He got lucky with a
like
travel that didn't get called either.
he didn't
Late.
get called with travel and he didn't get called with the inbound play. And shout out to Ant Wright on Twitter, because originally when I had saw the play where he inbounded it, I thought he had overstepped the line, but he had not established himself out of bounds yet. So technically, that was not a turnover. But I did think he traveled there in the corner. But just overall, like for Paint to trust him, and he had another solid game. But and Rob called it out in the broadcast as well. But his mid-range jumper, man, you can just see it. Like he shoots it with confidence. He had one in the second half. It was on the right elbow, a little step back. And you could just see the way he shot it. Like, that's a dog right there, man.
He's looking like me from the mid-range, Jared. No, but no, he played really well, and I think it speaks volumes to the level of trust that he's been able to earn with Painter, to where Paint late knew in some of these substitutions that he was making that like he could trust putting him out there, and he was picking up guys on Yale, right on the basket, full 94 feet. He was picking them up full court. And you know, to do that and be able to trust a guy to come in and do that late and know that he's not going to foul or anything like that, and then he comes down the other side and he's knocking down his free throws. Yeah, just again, it continues to speak volumes about his development, and just really he it, and it makes you excited about his future, in this program. And just if this is what he's able to do now, what might he be by the end of this year? And if he's taking more strides towards the end of this year, as we all hope and kind of expect for him to do, then what will he be like, coming into year two? So yeah, definitely want, I'm glad that we're like, we're making a little time to talk about CJ, because yeah, that was big stuff from him tonight. It was big stuff from him tonight. And you kind of needed it. You see, I'm looking here at the box score, and you had 10 guys who played, and I believe what, 8 of them scored. So I mean, it really was like a team effort tonight, and to just get contributions from everyone, regardless of whether it was a freshman or obviously your player of the year candidate. That just it speaks well to this team and how they performed tonight. There's still obviously have
And
things to clear up, but yeah.
the one thing to highlight too, and I think Kevin Kugler highlighted on the broadcast, but like it's crazy to kind of think about in an alternative world, CJ Cox is playing for Yale. He didn't have a lot of mid like high major offers, and was probably going to go to Yale if he didn't get that Purdue offer, and gets that Purdue offer, and then ends up, kind of you know, really helping Purdue beat Yale. So just kind of crazy how things like that work out. But, you know, that's just a credit to Paint and how he recruits and how he always has an eye out for those guys. But I did want to sim talk about TKR, because he's one of the, for lack of a better term, with this Purdue basketball team, the big three. And he played 30 minutes on 5 of 8 shooting. This is 17 points, and he got 3 rebounds. And to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, I feel like he needs to rebound more, but I also want to make sure I give TKR credit. He was 7 of 9 from the free throw line. That has not happened, as far as I know, anytime since he's been at Purdue. Like, he's almost been one of those dudes who's like almost automatic, a 50-50 shooter from the free throw line. But for him to hit 7 of 9 from the free throw line, I thought was good. I thought in the first half he was really good passing out of the block, which is really good to see, because one knock on him early on in his career had always been, once he got the ball on the block, it was like one dribble jump hook. And I thought he had some really good passes in the first half. I thought he, you know, they really, I think Paint made called some plays for him, especially early in the second half. The only knock on him, I feel like he passed on a three, and I think Robbie called it out on the broadcast. But there was a pick and pop, and he was wide open for a three. And I feel like he should have pulled that. But overall, I feel like he played a pretty decent game. But if Trey is gonna be the guy, he's got to get more than 3 rebounds, and he only had 5 rebounds against Northern Kentucky. So we're talking about 8 rebounds in 2 games. And I know it sounds kind of weird to say, but with Daniel Jacobson out, like, Purdue needs a big to get rebounds. And Trey, like, I don't think it's too much to ask for Trey to average 12 and 7. I feel like it's fair, but my guy's got to get some rebounds on the block, man.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the other bigs who played tonight, Berg, First, and Burgess. They combined to play 33 minutes, and they had 3 rebounds. Trey had played 30 minutes himself, and he had 3 rebounds. So you just in general need to get better rebounding, I think, from your bigs. I think they're capable of it. It just has to be, more of a talking point, more of a point of emphasis for all of those guys. And yeah, like you said, with Trey. He had a good game, like you said, 17 points, 7 of 9 from the line, which is great. Especially was hitting some late. He got some hometown bounces on the on I think on one of the on one of his free throws, but obviously we'll take
The
that.
rims were
But
nice for him.
they were extremely nice. But yeah,
I wish I
you
had
need to see that
those
stat line full. I don't think that would have helped you, but all right.
rims.
But yeah, you would just like to see more from in terms of him filling out the stat sheet, kind of the same way we were praising Braden in terms of having his stat line of 22, 9, and 6, and then even looking at Miles being at 9 and 5. There's to me, for a guy who's getting as much playing time as he's getting, and I understand that, yeah, he's going to be probably there's probably a fair number of times where maybe he's smaller than the person that he's guarding. But then you just think about, okay, with the way that the game is played and the number of threes and whatnot, you just like to think he'd be able to stumble into 5 or 6. So the fact that, yeah, he only had the three, that's really the one thing that sticks out to me. But I would say that's my overall criticism for the team, is that just being able to finish out those defensive possessions and getting rebounds is so critical. And there were a lot of times tonight where they were unable to secure the rebounds, and you're giving second and third chances to a team. And fortunately, Yale didn't really make us pay the way that they could have, but also it was kind of why this game stayed. It never really got away from Yale, because they were able to kind of get those timely rebounds, and thus then they were able to convert, get a bucket, and instead of the lead staying at like 13, it goes down to 11, or instead of it going from the staying at 9, it goes down to 6, something like that. So yeah, I mean, it's just you just need to rebound better overall as a whole, but especially from your front court. You want to see better. you just want to see better numbers from them, you know, especially from some of the guys we've seen historically between, you know, Trey, Biggie, obviously Zach, just, you know, people who are just basically vacuuming rebounds. You know, you want to see that same type of somewhat of that same type of control on the backboard.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The good news is it's Monday night. You have till Friday until kind of, for lack of a better term, things get real. So you play Alabama on Friday night, November 15th at 7 p.m. And then you turn around and play Marquette on Tuesday, November 19th. So two obviously really tough games, two teams against top 15 programs. And we'll have much, much more to talk about. In fact, we'll have a podcast dedicated entirely to a pregame for these two games. But really, kind of, for lack of a better term, this is what you wanted to see, like, from these three, I won't call them warm-up games, but that's kind of what they were. Like, you got tested. You got kind of different defenses. You got some teams that play zone. You got some teams that play man. You got some teams that shot the three predominantly, like Yale. You got some teams that, you know, played off the dribble. So you got tested early on, but things are about to get real as you play Alabama and Marquette headed forward. But, Sim, I did just want to touch gears and switch a little bit. Let's talk about football a little bit. And this is not my favorite thing to talk about, you know, but the Purdue Boilermakers did play a football over the weekend. They lost to Ohio State. They did not leave a lot on the table. They didn't leave much to be desired. They had some, I will give you credit. They had some drives that, like, well, like, okay, like, we did some things there, but one of two things. And I'm just going to leave you with this. I'm going to need some time to talk. But one of two things: were November 12th at this time that this is being recorded, you still do not have a definite quarterback. And on November 12th, you still do not have a definite kicker. And I would argue those are two of the most important positions on the roster. So, Sim, what does Purdue do moving forward to give you any type of, for lack of a better term, hope?
For me, and we talked about this offline, to me, I personally think that Ryan Brown should be playing, just because at this point in the season, I don't think you can definitively say that Hudson Carr gives you the best chance to, he gives you the best chance to win. He might be the better passer, but to me, I just think that Ryan Brown poses a threat to defenses, and the fact that you know that he is a willing runner to where it can make a defense look at you differently. And I think that his ability to run can possibly open up some throws for him. So personally, I think that Ryan Brown should be starting, but, you know, that's just me. In regards to the kicking game, what I will say is that for those of you who thought we should have gone for a field goal against Northwestern, if you didn't listen to what Walter said after the game, he got proven right in the Ohio State game. And I'm not proud of that, but yeah.
So let me just jump in on that, because that really makes me mad that we're in November, and the fact that we don't have a kicker is just complete craziness to me. Like Walter said that they're going to have a kicking contest this week and they will make a decision on the kicker on Thursday or Friday of this week in November. Like, what are we doing, dude? Like, this is a, like,
they're 1-8. Here's the thing, they're 1-8. So, like, what I mean, yeah, this, like, this is, yeah, this is what it is. Bro, I mean,
like, you didn't have a kicker. You didn't have a kicker by November. I don't feel like that's a hard ask.
I tell you what, you sound like you need to go on game day right now and try for a kick. That's that. You got a lot of energy right now for that.
Honestly, let's give the dude who did not get the Bob Roman special when he kicked the field goal because he can fucking kick better than the other guys we got right now.
Hey, low key, that was said during the game. Like, yo, give him a jersey.
You're not wrong. And that's part of my frustration is like we're in November 12th and we're having a kicking competition for a kicker for what? Three more games? Like I just feel like this is stuff we should have freaking tackled in spring ball. This is why you have spring practice. This is why you have practice at the start of the year.
We should have tackled a lot, but I mean, we're losing
But
45 nothing, so you're not tackling.
we're not tackling anybody. But
Hey,
anyways, with
we didn't have any
that,
penalty yards though. Did you know that?
hey, and I don't think we had any pick sixes, so we're starting to build on that. But we got just a couple minutes left, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but I will die on the hill. If Hudson Card is the QB throughout the rest of the year, Ryan Walters should be fired.
There you
And this
go.
is no knock on Hudson Card. I like the guy. He seems to be well, but we need to see what Purdue has moving forward. And if Hudson Card is the QB, we can't figure out what we have.
I'm not gonna say anything because, like you said, we have a lot of time, so.
We'll have more talks about that. There will be much more discussions on this, but I did just want to make sure we highlight. We talked about all of the different sports that were happening over the weekend, and one highlight we need to make sure that we talk about was the Purdue volleyball team because they did their thing over the weekend. They went to IU, they got that W, and then they hosted Michigan, and they got a sweep. And so they now moved, I believe, up to number 8 in the country. And to me, some kind of where they're at right now is they're a team, and this is kind of what we talked about, build wins, build that confidence, and that's what they're doing. They're handling business, and they did exactly what you wanted to see over the weekend.
Yeah, just like last week, you had two winnable games. I'm not actually surprised that they dropped a set against IU, but obviously took care of them in four, then came back and then just took care of business with Michigan. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do, is that those are two winnable games. You're supposed to win them, and you're supposed to win them in relatively stress-free fashion, and they did that. So, mission accomplished.
So, we'll have more. I know I said that we're going to preview the Purdue basketball team, taking on Alabama this weekend, but we will definitely make sure that we highlight the volleyball team, as they, wrap up their season. I think they have six matches left. We will have more, much, much more volleyball related content on the podcast, but just want to make sure we highlighted the ladies there, kind of how they handle business. So as we wrap everything up, we thought we'd get 2 or 3. We got the 2 or 3. The basketball team took care of business. The volleyball team took care of business. The football team did what they did on the field. As we look forward, we will have a preview of the Purdue basketball team taking on Alabama this weekend. Much more content with that. We will also touch on the volleyball team as they preview.